Okay. All right, so moving right along over here. So Lamaisa, I think we should be able to finish pretty soon. Yeah, okay, so on page Dalet, Torah Dalet, Ice Test. That's where we're up to, Ice Test. So Nachmo, again, Rav Nachman, again, the general Torah, again, that we're learning is the Mahalach of a Yid to be able to live a Bechin of Olam Haba. Bechin of Olam Haba, and the Bechin of Olam Haba, like he started from the very beginning, is an inyan of uniting the name Yud Kei Vavke with the name Elokim, Yud Kei Vavke with the name Elokim. And the way sort of the Torah evolved and the way we're up to right now is that the nature of that Yichud of Yud Kei Vavke and Elokim and what Olam Haba means is always is sort of Yud Kei Vavke means sort of stability. You are. Elokim always means flexibility. It always means redefining yourself. It means, you know, in isolation, the name Elokim could be Midas Hadin. It could become difficulties and Yitzharas, which pull a person into a million different directions. But when Yud Kei Vavke and Elokim are united, it means that you have a stable person who's not chaotic, but is always constantly discovering deeper parts of themselves. So when the person is asked, who are you? They can't really answer the question. But it's not from a negative place. It's not from a disturbing place. Adarabha. It's the question of who the person is irrelevant because I'm always changing. Because who am I ultimately? Whatever the Rabbanu Shalom wants me to be, whatever the Rabbanu Shalom needs me to be. Like last night, for those that were there, by the Mulav Malka for the Kamarna. So I quoted a Maisa in the Zohar Kaddish where Rabbi Lazar and Rabbi Abba, they met Rabbi Amnuna Saba, who the Arizal writes in Sharka Gulam was a spark of Moshe Rabbeinu. And they asked Rabbi Amnuna Saba, they didn't know at the time that it was Rabbi Amnuna Saba, and they asked him, what's your name? Who are you? And he says, why are you asking me my name? Like, let's just, right now we're traveling, that was the Maisa, they were traveling, and we can learn, let's learn. Like what type of, it's a very funny response. Like I'm asking your name and your response is, let's just focus on what we have to do right now. But that's exactly Moshe Rabbeinu. It's like that's the nekuda of like who I am is irrelevant because I can't pinpoint who I am. I'm whatever I'm needed for at that moment. Which reminds us, you know, when Yaakov Avinu and Esav have the Malach of Esav, right, when they're wrestling with each other. So he also asks Esav, what's your name? Right, the Malach of Esav. The Malach of Esav also doesn't really answer. But there's a very big difference. When the Malach of Esav doesn't have an answer, it's because whatever taiva is of the moment, that's who he becomes. So there's no focus, there's no central, tzad hashava throughout Esav's life. It's literally whatever, his identity completely shifts. And so that's the name, so to speak, the name Elokim, when it's disconnected from Yud Kei Vavke. Yud Kei Vavke means the one that I am, the one that is. That's constant, that's stability. Elokim is the one, is the name that's related to disjointedness. Baal HaKoyches Kulam. So not the name, I mean, obviously the name Elokim is holy, but, you know, from a holy name Elokim comes Elohim Acherim. So, you know, that's why when Yaakov Avinu describes his victory over the Malach of Esav, so the Pasuk says that he calls the name that he had over there, the name Peniel. Ki Reisi Elokim Panim El Panim Atanotzel Nafshi. That I faced the name Elokim and my soul was saved from it. So that idea is, that, again, the soul meaning that sense of stability, that oneness, that Yud Kei Vavke, and being saved from that chaos of the name Elokim. So again, that's the inyan, that's the whole Torah that we've been talking about, of Yud Kei Vavke, Elokim coming together through connection to a tzaddik, Talmid Chacham, which is a Bechinas Moshe, which is a person being able to have a solid foundation and a path in life. But that and at the same time, the path constantly changing and veering and whatever is required of the person, but the person never feeling that sense of being off and being lost, like the last Gemara that we learned that Rav Nachman was quoting more in Saita, of a person who's traveling, who's constantly worried about what's going to happen, and is not sure where he's going until finally he gets to the highway and now he knows where he's going. And so Rabbi Nachman said, that's that last part of the story where he finally gets to the highway and now he knows where he's going, that's called living in Olam Haba. That's called Bechinas Olam Haba. Bechinas Olam Haba is this inyan of you're not there yet, but that's okay. It doesn't bother you that you're not there yet, and it's just a matter of what you need to become. So that's what, and we've been seeing that this inyan of integrating the complexity of a person's personality with that stable identity is ultimately the full, that's the full tikkun of the Yetzer Hara, because the Yetzer Hara on its own is chaotic and disjointed. Like I said, like the Malach of Esav, you know, it's whatever is in front of the person. That's what the person is, and the Yetzer Tov is very stable and always sits in its seat. You know what I mean? Doesn't have any ADD at all. But the tikkun is to be able to integrate that constant moving and that constant vibration, so to speak, of the Yetzer Hara rooted in the name of Elokim into the self. And then the person becomes, like we've been saying earlier on, like a Baal Sod, a person of secrets, a person that's always able to, you know, that's always discovering more parts of their Avoda, more parts themselves. But again, all unified with that ultimate purpose of life, which is to be a shliach of Hashem, the Moshe Rabbeinu. That's why, again, that's what we're going to see right now. That's Rav Nachman associates this madrega with both being alive and being dead at the same time. The inyan of Olam Haba obviously comes after 120. So the inyan, and ironically, Olam Haba, which is Chias HaMesim, comes after death, but then it's a person's brought back to life. So because this idea of being of constantly, discovering a new sense of their identity means that to a certain degree, it's like death. It's like the old person has to die, and the new person is. So there's that's constantly happening. So this ending of dying and living. It's like, you know, when it's babasachas almost. It's like constantly happening. That's what happened by Har Sinai. He constantly died and brought back to life. Died and brought back to life. That's Bechinas Olam Haba. That's Moshe Rabbeinu. And so that's. And again, and the last thing we saw was that in order to reach this madrega, so there's a few steps, right? So Rav Nachman said that in order to find, we're going to say it like this today, in order to find the Yudke Vavke, in order to find that stability and that inner identity that's not run by the Yetzer Hara, that's not being flung from one end of the universe to the other, that stability, that sense of like, this is who I am. So Rav Nachman said that a person, you know, after, you know, doing the best they can personally, there's two avodas to do, two levels of interaction with a tzaddik, with this tzaddik that's Moshe Rabbeinu Dik, in order to sort of find that stability of Yudke Vavke. The first madrega, as he said, if you remember from last week, was seeing a tzaddik, it gives a person stability from the lowest two, right? Because a person is created with four elements, right? This, if you remember, that's what we talked about. Daimim Tzameh Chai Medaber. And each one of those elements translate in the person as a particular mida. And the Yetzer Hara, when a person's identity is associated with the Yetzer Hara version of those midas, then the person's like all over the place. So the inyan is first to disassociate from that chaotic, all over the place, you know, persona, and to find an inner persona of Yudke Vavke, which is stability. And so seeing a tzaddik, as we said, the first two lower midas of Doimim and Sameach are, you find stability, you know, from those two elements by seeing a tzaddik. And then you find stability from the higher two elements of Chai and Medaber by giving tzedakah and being Meiser Nefesh to support a tzaddik. And so after those two stages, ultimately finding stability from the four elements and the four stratas of Daimon Tzmei Chai Medaber, now you found your stability in life, your Yudke Vavke. Now you could go to the higher Madrega of speaking to the tzaddik, right, of saying Vidui and talking it over with the tzaddik to then actually then go back and integrate the nuanced chaos, the flexibility, the unknown part of who you are, of the name Elokim, which was expressed in the chaotic Daim Tzmei Chai Medaber. But now that you've found your stability, you can then go back and incorporate the name Elokim into who you are. And so that highest Madrega, that's why the first two madregas of seeing a tzaddik and giving tzedakah to a tzaddik fix the four elements, right? The four levels of Dormis Mechai Medaber, that's four corresponding to Yud Kei Vav Kei. So you found that stability. But now that you're anchored in stability of like, okay, I know Shulchan Aruch, there's Hadracha, I have Torah, and that's what my life is about. Now I could go back and incorporate the nuance and the parts of myself that the Yetzer Hara uncovered into my Avodas Hashem, and then really becoming a tzaddik like Moshe Rabbeinu, who's always constantly alive and dead at the same time. Alive and dead at the same time. The same day he was born is the same day he died. The same day he died, the same day he was born. So it's like that constant motion of who am I? I'm not sure, but it doesn't make a difference because I know what I'm needed for. That Avodah. That's why, by the way, it's very connected to Lag BaOmer. I mean, the whole Indian of Rav Shimon bar Yochai is, the Rishami quotes, Rav Shimon bar Yochai said that a person should be attached to his Torah because the Torah of Rav Shimon is Trumas Mitrumas Terasa Shal Rabbi Akiva. The essence is the Tamsis of Rabbi Akiva's Torah. Rabbi Akiva's, which means that Rav Shimon's Torah and Rabbi Akiva's Torah is the same Indian. But there's a very big difference. Rabbi Akiva's Torah and Rabbi Akiva's life was very much bound to the Indian of Mesiras Nefesh. I mean, he died al Kiddush Hashem, and all the upheaval in his life, he had to, you know, there's the first 40 years of Rabbi Akiva's life, and that Rabbi Akiva died, you know, and then there's a new Rabbi Akiva, and then the students, the 24,000, they died, and then there's new students, and he himself died al Kiddush Hashem, and he says, my whole life I'm waiting to die al Kiddush Hashem. There's an Indian of Taurus Rabbi Akiva that somehow requires Mesiras Nefesh, and that Mesiras Nefesh in the life of Rabbi Akiva was fulfilled b'poil. Like in a very practically dying al Kiddush Hashem, Reb Shimon bar Yochai, who is also the essence of Rabbi Akiva's Torah, which means it's also a Torah that requires Mesiras Nefesh, but instead of it being a Mesiras Nefesh b'poil, it's a Mesiras Nefesh through life. This is why the last pasuk I mentioned this last night also, that the last pasuk in Idra Zuta, which is the story of Lag BaOmer of the day of Reb Shimon's Estalkus, the last Torah that Reb Shimon said is on the pasuk Lo Yameisim Yahaluka. That people that are dead can't praise Hashem. Right? So the whole Torah of Rabbi Akiva ends with that pasuk that those that are living praise Hashem. What do you mean those that are living praise Hashem? You said your Torah is Rabbi Akiva's Torah, and Rabbi Akiva's Torah is a Torah of Mesiras Nefesh. So what does it mean that your last Torah, all of this is Lo Yameisim Yahaluka? It's fakert. The answer is that's the site of Reb Shimon. The site of Reb Shimon is to be alive and dead at the same time. The site of Reb Shimon is to serve Hashem in such a way where you've reached that madrega of where you're constantly discovering new parts of yourself, new parts of Torah, new parts of Avodas Hashem, where you can never therefore say, like succinctly and like, you know, for an extended period of time, this is who I am, which is a bechina of death. But that's okay. That doesn't, because Adrabba, that brings freshness to life. So ironically, that inyan of Mesiras Nefesh, and the inyan of death, which is to always, you know, sort of the old self has died, and now there's something new that invigorates life, that keeps life going. That's Men Olam Haba. That's the Torah of Reb Shimon. That's what Sisri Torah. That's what Pnimius HaTorah is. Niglas HaTorah is static. Niglas HaTorah. I've mentioned this before from the Leshem that the nature of Nigla is that everything was given in Sinai, and for the rest of the generations, even though there's more and more Svarm coming out in Nigla. But every sefer that comes out is really just to figure out what was already said by the Rajba and the Ritva and the Ramban and the Rambam. It's really nothing new. It's just trying to, because we're smaller and we can't chop as much as the earlier generations, so that's why there's more svarim to fill in the blanks. But there's really nothing new. That's in terms of Nigla, but in terms of Nistar, it's not like that. I've mentioned this before from the Leshem, that the Leshem, it's not his Kasha, goes back, there is already his Mar the Kasha, that throughout the Zohar Kaddish we find that there are certain times where the Rav Shimon says, like, okay, what I just said is like the ceiling. You can't talk about anything higher than that, right? And then other places, Rav Shimon talks higher than that and says, oh, but here's this you can't talk higher than. Like, the ceiling constantly changes. So the Leshem writes, Tak, it's true that when the nature of Pnimius HaTorah is that there's legitimately, as time goes on, there's literally more Giluyim, and deeper parts of the Rabbanu Shel Olam becomes more revealed as the generations go further, where whatever the ceiling is of what we're not able to understand higher than, that literally keeps on moving up. And so whereas Niglas HaTorah, there's a certain level of death, like it's not like dust is dust. There's no more to it. practically there's more svarim because we're becoming smaller and smaller. So it takes more svarim to explain to us what's already there. But what's already there is not changing. Whereas nister, it's mamash vakir. There's actually more secrets of Torah being revealed as the generations move on. So this inyan of constantly rediscovering and finding more deeper parts to who we are is much more appropriate to Pnimi Satara than is to Nigla Satara. So Dafka Reb Shimon, who reveals Pnimi Satara, is the inyan of death, of Mesiris Nefesh, while you're alive. It's deeper levels of the self being revealed is both a deeper level of life, but at the same time also a deeper level of death, because it means the previous self is no longer relevant. And even the self that's now been presented, you know, in a moment from now, there's going to be something else to replace it. So there's, you know, it's life and death at the same time. That's the secret of Reb Shimon. That's how he brings a tikkun to Rabbi Akiva's Torah, a Torah that requires Mesiris Nefesh, but in a way that's while being alive. Yeah, and all this is related to Shabbos, like we said. Moshe Rabbeinu is the Bechin of Shabbos. Shabbos is Me'en Olam Haba. That's why Shabbos itself is broken down into three parts, right? You have Friday night, Shabbos day, and Shal Shudas. Shal Shudas, so to over here, we had the first interaction with the first two interactions with the Tzaddik, seeing a Tzaddik and giving Tzedakah, that gives you the stability, the anchoring of Yudke Vavke. And then the third Madrega, which is talking to the Tzaddik, you can then incorporate instability into that stability. That's Elokim into Yudke Vavke. That probably corresponds to the three times of Shabbos. Friday night corresponds to seeing a Tzaddik. That's why Friday night, you know, even on a simple level, Friday night, you know, we say L'chadoi D'Likras Kala. It's a very strange pisma. And it's ironic that it's, I think it's probably the only kapitel or whatever, the only tefillah that's post-Chazal that probably everyone says, you know. It's a very strange thing. L'chadoi D'Likras Kala is very visual. It's like very... you know, it's obviously it's symbolic or whatever it is, but it's very, like, we literally turn around by Bayi B'Shal, like, it's a very, it's almost tangible. Like, Hilu, there's Mamish, a Chassan, the Tzaddik that we're coming to greet. So Friday night corresponds to that ending of seeing a Tzaddik. That's why, you know, that's why it's ironic, but it's always like this. You know, the Arizal says that Friday night, when a person's davening Kabbalah Shabbos, so the whole Kabbalah Shabbos, your eyes should be closed until the very end. So it's like an Indian of preparing your eyes to be able to really see the Tzaddik, you know, to see Shabbos, which, you know, in the Zohar Kaddish, Rosh Hashanah is called Shabbos. He was called Rabbi Yehuda, called him Shabbos. So that's the Indian of Friday night is coming to see a Tzaddik. Shabbos day is the Indian of giving tzedakah to the Tzaddik, you know. I always say this all the time, that, you know, anything that Kabbalah Yisrael does shouldn't be taken lightly, you know. Every shul needs support, you know, every shul needs financial things. So one of the things that helps the shul, I'm not going to say that this is all that's required, avadanat, but like people like sponsoring a kiddush and things like that, right? So that, you have to think about that. Like, what's the inyan that Dafka Shabbos day, there's this inyan that come on in every shul, there's like this inyan of giving tzedakah to the shul that expresses itself, Dafka, in the inyan of Shabbos day. Shabbos morning with the, you know, with the kiddush after davening. It's not a, you know, the Zohar says that every base of Medrash, every base of Knesset is ultimately a place that the Nesham of the Tzaddikim find a place to rest in every base Knesset and every base Medrash. So the Indian of supporting a shul is the same Indian as supporting a Tzaddik. We assume that Bashgacha Pratis, whoever's in charge of the shul, is Bechinas Tzaddik for that kehila. So supporting a shul, which is supporting a tzaddik, is the Inyan of Tzedakah, which is specifically expressed by Klal Yisrael Shabbos day. So Friday night is, you know, seeing a tzaddik, L'chadoi, Likras Kala, to see Shabbos, which is Bechinas Tzaddik. Shabbos day is supporting a tzaddik, supporting a shul, which is supporting the tzaddik. And then Shal Shudas is the inyan of having that deepest bond with the tzaddik. That's why, again, by the tzaddikim shal shudas time, that's when they said the Torah, you know, the Rav Nassim, it's brought down, the Rav Nassim said, saw by Rav Nachman, that he noticed that when it came to shal shudas, Rav Nachman would say Torah, but it was almost as if he wasn't talking to the people in the room. There was like He's like talking to other people. So Rav Nachman said that by Shal Shudas, the tzaddik talks to more people than just in the room. He's talking to who knows how many neshamas. So there's an inning of talking, of having conversations with the tzaddik by Shal Shudas. That's ultimately that highest madrega of Elokim and Yud Kedavka being together, of dying and living at the same time, of Man Olam Haba, of Moshe Rabbeinu himself. Moshe Rabbeinu, when did Moshe Rabbeinu die? By Shal Shudas time. By Shal Shudas time. Rav de Ravin. So that's the inning of, that's the Torah that we're learning now. It's late. Okay, fine. So, okay, ice test. Okay, so let's learn. Nachmal, after Nafak Dhamma. Okay, Vizepa Kol Pam Shabo Eitzel Tamil Chacham, Umasar Lufan of Kolibai. Again, so this is going back. So, this is the Indian of death and life. The constant, again, discovering new avaydas to do, but all within the context of a general avodah of whatever the Rabbanu Shlom needs me for, that a person finds by talking to the tzaddik. V'atam chacham u'b'chinas Moshe. Again, as we saw, the Talmud Chacham, it's b'chinas Moshe. Shu b'chinas ayin, who himself is nothing. Moshe Kasev, as it says, v'chachma mi'ayin timotze, that chachma comes from nothingness. So Moshe Rabbeinu, who's that inyan of chachma, is also the inyan of nothingness. Va'ideza, and therefore through speaking to the tzaddik, at nichlal ba'ein saif, therefore you become part of infinity. So that's why, again, infinity is also this inyan of life and death at the same time. That's olam haba. What's infinity? I don't know. Whatever, you know, you can't pinpoint it because it's infinite by its very definition. So that there's a life that's called a life of Ein Sof is this inyan of Olam Haba, which is basically boiling down to a bittul of Moshe Rabbeinu level, which is whatever the Rabbanu Shalom requires him to be just a kli, to be just a shliach of Hashem. Zebuchina Zarka, that's the, he's referring to, there's Torahs in the Zohar about this. Zarka is one of the trup, right? It's one of the trups of the Nigan of Torah. The word Zarka, Dizrakas la'asar disnatilas metaman. So it's a quote from the Zohar that the secret of that trup of Zarka means to be thrown. Zarka means to throw, right? So you're thrown from where you come from. To be thrown from where you come, to where you come from. Shetachzer as a malchus la'ein saif, which is everything we're talking about, of taking Malchus. Malchus was, again, down here, the most practical, the most static and so on, and turning that to Ein Sof. The name Elokim by itself is Malchus. And when Malchus and when Elokim, that nature of Elokim, which again on its own can turn into a very disjointed, chaotic, difficult place to live in, so to speak. But it itself, when it finds its tikkun, becomes mamash shabachina vein saif of infinity. Shuratzin shabakol haritzainis. That's a reference to Shal Shudas, which is the will of all wills. Ki malchus, he says like this, malchus shabachinis oisis hatibur, which are the letters that a person says, right? If you remember going back, right? Hashem created the world with letters. When Hashem created the world in Bereshis Bara Elokim, when Hashem, the name Elokim, creates the world with letters, and now every letter is now specific. And now it's its own thing and somewhat disjointed from each other. Kol ois v'ois mulubish ba ratzon Hashem yisbarach. Every letter, obviously, that comes out of a person's mouth or Hashem kiviyachol contains within it a will. Hashem decided to say this word. You decided to say this word. Sheratzon Hashem yisbarach hayish ezois ha'ois yila tumunu kazu. This letter should look in a certain way. It should sound in a certain way. It should be said in a certain way. In a different letter, she had a different way, a different look, a different personality, a different identity. So the name Elokim, which is the name that's associated with creation, which is associated with creating letters, with speaking, automatically means that each word is different, and that's how creation is. Creation is what? The Malchus of Hashem that's created through His speech is a Malchus of many, 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 many different pieces that hopefully don't get in each other's way, but a world of pratim, a world of many, the world of Bereshis Bara Elokim with the letter Beis. Nimsa Sheretzainus, so every little piece of creation, there's a will behind it, right? Hashem wants there to be grasshoppers, and Hashem wants there to be tortoises. So, you know, and every one of these animals are created with a particular word, and those words have behind them a particular desire of Hashem. Hashem wants, for whatever reason, for there to be tortoises, and so on. Hainu tumunus aisius, and that's the particular letter and shape and personality of each word of each letter. Hemes galus malchus yisparach, that's how Hashem's malchus is expressing itself. But the kol elu haritzainis, but all those wills, Hainu Atmunus, or the shapes of the letters, again, you know, pulling it, going backwards. So Nimshachim Ratzin Ein Sof, they come from an infinite will. You know, there's the, you know, when a person you know wants something, so they can say like, you know, like I want to do X, Y, Z. So obviously they express their will. They want to do something. But why do you want that? There's got to be a will behind the will. You know what I mean? So that will behind the will is like very subtle and very hard to identify. Ruts and sheberet sinus. And to a certain degree, when a person analyzes that process, it's like what I want, that's who I am. But the very fact that I could have wanted something else means that who I am is not so stable, right? It's like who a person is ultimately based on what they want. The word ruts in itself is the same gematria as the word Hashem, which means a person's name, their identity. So who you are is defined based on what you want to a certain degree. But what you want, but you could have wanted something else. You could have wanted something else. That's between a person and like a robot, right? A program is designed to only have the ability to want certain things, right? But a human being is programmed that we could want anything, but yet you specifically choose to want this. The fact that you could have wanted something else means that even the identity that you have based on your desire and based on your wanting is itself unstable. It's standing on shaky ground because you could have wanted something else, and maybe tomorrow you will want something else. So the ruts and sheberet sinus, the will of all wills behind the scenes, the possibility of wanting other things, already means that who you are is not so posh. And that's exactly Moshe Rabbeinu. That's what Shal Shudis is. Rav Adarav and ruts and sheberet sinus. Ratzon Shevret Sinus. So he says, V'chol hadvarim v'yeshish ha'olam, all the things of this world, heim ha'oisis, are from letters. And every letter is expressed by a particular will. If a person says the letter Beis, it means that they've chosen to say the letter Beis. Hainu mimalchus, that's the quality of malchus. Malchus means thus is thus. Ki yeshus u'machmas ha'malchus. Somethingness means malchus. Oh, like you've chosen Beis. But you could have said Aleph. And you could have said something else, which means that behind the ruts and of days, there's an infinite will of other possibilities, which means even the identity that you've expressed by saying letter Beis is not so absolute. Hashem wanted his malchus to be revealed in these particular ways. So the world is created from nothing to something. But v'chol eretz sinus, again, he repeats, v'chol eretz sinus, hainu t'munas, all the wills, all the particular letters, v'chol ha'yeshas, hainu b'chinas malchus, mekabum chiyusim ratzin ein sof. Ultimately, it's coming from that infinite will, that's somewhat unidentified identity that's behind the identifiable identity. K'mesh amru, b'kol malkim sh'atamaitzik idulasi shaklesh baruchu, like Chazal say, wherever you find Hashem's greatness, what does it mean his greatness? Hainu malchusai, his malchus, Hainu Ritzainus, which means the particular wills and the identities, the Yud Kei Vav Keis that you could identify. Sham Atamaitzi Invesunusai, over there, if you just look a little deeper, you'll find Hashem's humility. What does it mean, humility? Hainu Ratzin Ein Sof, the infinite will of God. In other words, Rav Nachman is teaching the Gemara that godless and anivus, godless means something, anivus means nothing. So wherever you find something, just go a little bit behind the scenes and you'll find, whoa, there's a nothingness behind it. There's something unstable. Ironically, what we're learning is that which one of the two Shemus HaKadoshim is deeper? Yudke Vavke or Elokim? So based on this, it's ironic because usually Yudke Vavke is the Shem HaEtzem. That's the essential name. And Elokim is always associated with that which is lower, that which is the Malchus of Hashem, this physical world which is disjointed in pieces and so on. Ba'al HaKeches Kum. But Yudke Vavke, that's unity, that's Achdus, that's oneness. That's true. But ultimately, with Olam Haba, where it becomes revealed, that even that stability of Yud Kei Vav Kei is coming from an unknowable, almost unstable source, revealing a constantly deeper and deeper side of the Rabbanu Shalom, and so too in the person, the name Elokim really is deeper. The name Elokim is really a reflection of the Ein Sof, of that which cannot be identified. You can't put a finger on it. When that sort of infinity makes its way to this physical world, it becomes like disjointed, a tortoise over here and a butterfly over there, and like, you know. And then Yud Kei Vav Kei is higher, because Yud Kei Vav Kei means oneness. And so oneness is always like nicer to experience than disjointedness. But on the deepest of levels, when everything is integrated healthily, then that disjointedness is actually a reflection of what? Of infinity. That's why in Yom Kippur, which is a day that's mamish, Shabbos is menel haba, Yom Kippur is Shabbos Shabbosing. So how does Yom Kippur end? What do we say in Yom Kippur? How we say, well, the last thing, we say, you know, Hashem will akim. Hashem will akim. The Rizal points that out. Shouldn't it be fakirat? Elakim hu Hashem. In other words, you, what you're saying is the lower name is like the higher name. So it should be Elakim hu Yudkei Vavkei. But no, we say Yudkei Vavkei hu Elakim. The indication being that Yudkei Vavkei is higher. Where was that pasuk first said? So that was by the story of Eliyahu Navi in the Har Carmel, right? When he says to the Jewish people, Ad Masa et Tepoichs Mashtei Sifra, the Jewish people, they were from serving Hashem, but they're also serving Avay Dezara. It's like, so Eliyahu says, like, you're disjointed, you're all over the place. Make a choice. Im LaShem, Im LaBaal. And the Jew, and so, the, so you know, that's the whole thing. So he makes the Avdei Vadazar bring their karbanis. Eliyahu brings his karban. Obviously, Hashem accepts, you know, his karbanis, and it's a huge kiddush Hashem. And the Jewish people say, Hashem elokim, Hashem elokim. What's the site of that? That process is exactly what we're talking about. The inyan of pesach al shtei seifim, of being disjointed. That's the name Elokim when it's disassociated from Yudkei Vavkei. So then it's like you're all over the place, you're chaotic. But then the Jewish people do tshuva, and they're doing tshuva in connection to through interacting with the tzaddik Eliyahu Navi, who's Bechinas Moshe Rabbeinu, and interacting with that tzaddik, it's not just a matter of finding stability. Once you found that stability, okay, I serve Hashem, now you can go back and reincorporate the chaos that the Yetzirah revealed within you into your Avodas Hashem, and now you can become a Baal Sod, a mysterious person who's constantly finding and discovering more Avodas and more sides of themselves. Havaya hu elokim. And so that's exactly what it means. Men olam haba. That's what happened. That was that maisa. That was what's going on. Vizeh b'chinis, he continues on. Vizeh b'chinis is spashtos agashmis. That's this madrega is like divesting one's physical self. It's like dying. When a person gets that madrega of connecting himself to the infinite will of Hashem, that means that you're putting aside your particular ritzinus, and you're just allowing yourself to do what Hashem's will is. And Hashem's will, since it's Ein Sof, will constantly be shifting. And you're okay with that. And that's a major principle of Avodas Hashem by the Baal Shem Tov, to be flexible. Right, to be flexible, not to say that this is how it has to be. The Rabbi Shalom, Shivisi Hashem Lenegdi Samir. Shivisi, like the Baal Shem Tov said, Shivisi, I'm good. Shivisi, I'm in a state of equilibrium. Because Hashem is always in front of me, and He's guiding me what He wants me to do. So I'm not going to get all caught up. I want my day to go like this, and it doesn't go like that. So, whatever. I'm allowing my particular ritzinus to become moved aside for the Rav de Ravin, for the Ratzon of all Ritzinus, which is behind the scenes. Vizesha Kasa Bezair, and that's why it says in the Zayir, Sitaka makes the point, Shestalkus Moshe B'Shabbos, B'Shayit the Mincha, that Moshe dies by Mincha time on Shabbos, by Rav de Ravin. Shaz Hiskalas, Rav de Ravin, that's when Shal Shudas, the Ratzon of all Ritzinus, is revealed, Shubachinus Ratzon Ein Sof. Obviously, he himself connects it. So that's everything we're saying before, that's where it's coming from. Okay, Shubachinus Ratzon Ein Sof. Shakala Ritzinus, Makabum Chizimen, all the particular Ritzinus of what has to be done, ultimately is drawing itself from the ruts and haritzinus of Shal Shudas. That's why Shal Shudas is a way by the Chassidim, the minig is, I mean, a minute, whatever, but L'maisa, that's the way it is, that Shal Shudas always goes into Matzah Shabbos, right? It's always, whatever the Zman of Ma'ariv is, give or take. So it's, you know, that Shal Shudas continues on. Why is that? So there's an inyan of going into the 6 days of the week from Shal Shudas. Because that's the idea. The 6 days of the week, you're going to have a lot of ritzinus. And you have to have ritzinus. You have to know when you wake up in the morning, you have to have the plan, like what you're going to do today. It can't just be, again, if a person wakes up in the morning without any idea of like what's, without any schedule, that's called the name of Elokim by itself. That's called being disjointed. That's called chaotic. That's called like, what are you going to do? Well, it depends, whatever comes my way. That's Elohim Acherim. That's Elohim Acherim. That's chaos. That's only a matter of time until the Yetzirah tells you what to do. That's not good. And then you have, so what should the person do? So he wakes up in the morning and he has a schedule. Shachar's his time, he learns a little bit, he goes to work, he accomplishes it. He has a schedule of what he does. That's called Yud Kilevka. Like, he knows what he's going to do. But then invariably what happens, something happens along the way to throw a wrench in the schedule. Ah, so now this is when the moment comes of where you reconnect to Shal Shudas. Because Shal Shudas, Rav Derava, means that yes, I have my Ritzinus, I have my wills, and I have my desire, like I know what I'm going to do, but I know that behind the scenes of all those particular desires and those particular schedules is ultimately Hashem's schedule. And the big picture is that I'm a shliach of Hashem. If I don't have a particular, you know, message from Hashem about what I should do, then I'm assuming what Hashem wants of me is, you know, to go to Shacharis on time and to have a chavrusa and to go to work and to take care of my, like, I'm just assuming that's what God wants of me. But if He tells me through, you know, through the experiences of life that that's not what I'm supposed to be doing right now, then I'm a kabbal that too. That's called integrating the chaos, the instability of the name of Elokim, back into the self. So it's like, to a certain degree, that person wakes up in the morning and it's both. It's like, this is what I'm going to do. I have that, you know, schedule, but I also know that this might not be what I'm going to end up doing, and I'm okay with that. So that's Men Olam Haba. That's Men Olam Haba. That's Shal Shudas giving strength to the 6 days, giving the background, I guess, the framework for the 6 days of the week. Like, you know, 6 days of the week means that you have to know what your plan is. You have to have a schedule. That's Yud Kevavke. But Hashem will akim. But Hashem Mu'alekin. V'zemachma shebatol Moshe kol Yishusay. And again, this kaych of Moshe Rabbeinu, of Shal Shudas, is because Moshe Rabbeinu was mevatel, his entire Yishus. He's like, whatever, again, he is whoever the Rabbanu needs him to be. Moshe Kosev, v'nachnuma. V'zeh perish, and that's the meaning of the following pasuk. We'll see, we'll be able to start this, we'll see how far we go. It says in pasuk at the end of Moshe Rabbeinu's life, v'yikber oisei begai. It says in Pasuk that they buried, that the Rabbanu Shalom buried Moshe Rabbeinu Begai, in the place of Gai, Be'eretz Mayev, in the land of Mayev, right, the other side of the Yarden, Mul Beis Pa'ar, opposite the Avoy Zara of Baal Pa'ar, V'le'yod Ishes Kfurosai, and no one knows where Moshe is buried, right? That's the Pasuk. So Nachman breaks down this Pasuk based on the Torah that we just learned. So again, we'll see, we'll begin to start it. V'yikbar Aysai Begai, Moshe is buried in Gai. Zebachinus Ayin. So that place of Gai is a reference. It's a reference. This inyan of nothingness. That's where Moshe is buried. Like, Moshe is found in that place of nothingness, of Ein Sof. Moshe Kosev, as it says, Kol Gei Yinase. All that which is low should be elevated. So the word Gai or Gez is associated with that which is both low and high at the same time, which is nothingness, which is Ein Sof. The Eretz Mayav, and this is what in the land of Mayav, Zebachinus Malchus, that's Malchus. Whereas what was until now the name of Elokim and disjointed is exactly now elevated to its root, which is Ein Sof. Why is Mayav associated with Malchus? She David, Bami Mayav, David comes from Mayav. It's Rus, right? She Nestalik Moshe, B'toich Ein Sof, B'toich Ratzin She Ratzin. Again, Moshe dies, Moshe is Nestalik, he becomes. He returns to his source in Ein Sof, which is Ratzin She Ratzinus, B'toich Ravid Ravin, Shebachinus Ratzin Ein Sof, Hamalubish Ratzinus, the infinite will that's behind all the particular wills, B'tumunus Isis and the particular letters, B'chinus Malchus, which is Malchus. And again, so David HaMelech, Malchus means the particular, like your schedule, like your plan, like what's your day going to be like. And that's called Malchus, that's called David HaMelech. That's why we find the first... The talk of the first mention of David HaMelech and Shas, it's the first sugi of David HaMelech and Shas. It talks about his schedule. The first sugi of David HaMelech and Shas talks about his schedule. When did he wake up? What did he do? The first part of the night, the middle part of the night, when he came in the morning, what happened? Like, Why? That's like the first, our first interaction with David HaMelech and Tarash Baal Peh is like his schedule, which is very interesting. But that's the Nakuda. Malchus means Yud Kevav. Malchus means like this is what you do. Like this is your stability. This is your anchor. This is your schedule. But the secret is Moshe Rabbeinu was buried in Ein Sof in Eretz Mayav. So behind the scenes of that schedule of David HaMelech, there's the Ein Sof of Moshe Rabbeinu. It's the Rav Deravin behind the particular Ritzinus. Mashakasav, again, as we said, wherever you find Hashem's greatness, in other words, His somethingness, Bechinas Malchus, Bechinas Ravin, the Ratzin, the schedule, the identity, Rava, Ratzin Ein Sof, that's where you'll find Hashem's humility, you'll find nothingness, you'll find Ein Sof right behind the scenes. Okay, fine, I guess we'll stop with this and we'll continue next time. Bez Hashem, I'm hoping next time to finish, but we'll see. Probably not. We'll see.